Please open your Bibles with me to the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. The title of today's message is Unloading the Heart, which is part 2. But first, let's read the scriptures. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word. We thank you that by your word, we are sanctified. You prayed, Lord Jesus, you prayed to the Father, you said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We thank you that this morning you have come to wash us, to cleanse us, to set us apart, to use us by the hearing of your word that we are set apart for you, Lord. We thank you that by your spirit, you will minister your word. You will speak to our hearts. Your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish its holy purposes in the hearts of every one of us, including myself. We bless you and thank you, our Father, that you love us so much that you are giving us your word to share. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so Pastor Chuck was right. It is very hard to believe that it's been 5 full months since the Lord has given me the opportunity to start speaking on this subject of unloading the heart. If you recall, 5 months and a few days ago, I was right here talking about the same topic, and then we ran out of time. And I said, Lord, if you are willing, I will come back to finish the message, because I strongly believe that the Lord has something for us in this topic of unloading our hearts to the Lord. So, here we are. We praise our God and our Father. The thing that was really on my mind the most this past week was the idea that, Lord, what a joy that we have that we can crack open your word and eat it. Either when we are by ourselves or we are in a group, that we can open that word and eat it. And the eating of your word brings transformation to our lives. We are never the same. It's like that thing that they talk about, you never step to the same river twice. Think about that. It's the same. Every experience that we have, to allow the word of God to seep into our lives, transforms us, changes us. Sometimes the transformation can be tiny little bit. Sometimes it could be major. Or it could be a combination of a build-up that is been going on. And then, what? The word of God adds to the top of that build-up. And then we have a major, major transformation in our lives. I know that all of us, we've had this experience in walking with the Lord. So as I went back to the message to edit out the part that I already talked about, and to start putting together the second phase of this message, it was like the Lord was telling me that this could be a way of Paul sharing practical wisdom that he has experienced as a believer in the Lord himself. Remember, the book of Philippians is one of those 4 epistles that were written in the prison, right? The prison epistle. Paul himself the servant of the Lord, the apostle to the Gentiles, must have had his own life transformed by these things that are being shared with us in this epistle. This epistle, we generally regard it as the rejoicing epistle, but this was written while Paul was chained to a soldier 24 hours, although he was free to have his friend visit and so on. But the circumstances of this letter was not one that was Paul running all over the place, having free time and enjoying life like we do. But though he was in prison. But he wrote several things in this epistle. He talked about rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And he talked about, he talked about this in the same breath in this chapter 4. So we have read it. Now, let's go back, because if you remember, 5 months ago, I sort of like broke this little passage into 6 parts. And in the first part, we talk about the command that the Lord commanded us not to worry. And then in the second part, we talk about him emphasizing worrying about nothing. And then the third part, we talk about praying about everything. And then the fourth part, which I started talking about, was making supplication to the Lord. And then I was going to go on to talk about this making supplication to the Lord in the spirit of thanksgiving. And then the last part will be the effect of our prayer was to enjoy the promise of peace from God. So we ran out of time as I began to touch on the topic of making supplications. Before we dive back into that topic, here's a very quick recap. One, we know the Lord commands us not to worry about anything because worry does not solve any problem. I kind of lingered a lot on that. And the word of the Lord that sealed it for me was saying, you can never hide a single cubit to your stature. That's what the Lord is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling us. By worrying, we can never add anything to our lives. Secondly, we also touch on the difference between us and the people of the world. That the people of the world, they turn to their invented humanistic coping strategies. Breathings, and yoga and all the stuff that they say, you're going to overcome your anxiety by doing all this stuff. But I kind of talked to us then, back then, that the Lord, our maker, who made us, knows how to fix us. We are his children. If things are broken in our lives, we take it to him to fix us, including our worries. And then I kind of went through very fast through this theme of unloading our hearts to the Lord. That is a theme that is common in the Bible. Psalm 62 is not there. It says, pour your hearts to him. Psalm 52 talk about casting our burden on the Lord. And Lamentation talk about pouring out our hearts like water to the Lord. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So today, we move to part 4, where he talks about, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So, supplication. Simply put, when we make supplications, we are just telling God our needs. We are specific. When we unload our feelings and our hurts and our needs our concerns. We are specific when we unload them to the Lord. So that, there are some examples in the Bible for us to consider. The first one I want to consider is Anna. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, I kind of skipped over the beginning part of that story, but I want us to give us a gist of the story. So here we see Anna was praying to the Lord out of a deep anguish. If you recall in that story, we know that Anna was the second wife of Elkanah, who had the habit of going every year to the house of the Lord at Shiloh with his family. So Elkanah had two wives. Anna was one of them. The other one was Peninnah. Anna had no children. Peninnah had children, we're told, sons and daughters in the story. So we are not told how many children Peninnah had, but we know she had children. But the part of the story that really led to Anna making prayer to the Lord is this. Every year, when they went up to Shiloh to go offer their offering to the Lord, the Lord had commanded them back then, way back, that when they come, they should take part of the offering and eat them with their family. So Peninnah found a way during that time of feasting to taunt and make fun of Anna severely, that Anna had no children, but here she was with her children. We are not told in the Bible in what form of the taunting and the fun making, what form it took, but we knew that Hannah was really, really hurt by this fun making and this taunting that Peninnah was engaged in. So that was the thing that went on year after year after year. And then we're told that each time Anna was reduced to tears and would not even eat the portion that's given to her to eat, because she felt the taunting of this other rival. Talking about rival, I know what he meant, because I came out of a polygamous family too. My mom and my other woman, they were rivals, so I know exactly what was going on with rivalry. This is the African background, other places too, they had this polygamous thing, and I know what it meant when one is playing the other one, and so I can tell. My mother was this the younger one, so I was the younger one too, and what could transpire there. So we pick up the story where Anna just got up because of the hurt and the pain that she was feeling. She just got up and went to pray beside the entrance to the tabernacle. So in this part of the story, we read that Anna was in a deep anguish. I'm reading from NLT. Anna was in a deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. She was in a deep anguish. This is a matter of the heart, the matter of the soul. And then that led to an outward crying, actual crying and shedding tears before the Lord. And as she prayed in verse 11, it says, she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's army, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. As a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And then I skipped over to verse 15. In between verse 11 and 15, it was Eli, the priest, who actually was making fun now of Anna, saying, are you drunk? This is only 9 a.m. in the morning. Because the mouth of Anna was moving, but no sound was coming out. Eli was saying, What's going on? Woman, this is only 9 a.m. You're drunk already. And then in verse 16, Anna replied, he says, don't think, in verse 15, he says, oh no, sir. She replied, I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged. And I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of my great anguish and sorrow. The interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, says we should that, you know, when he was moving Samuel to write all this story, he said he moved Samuel to write verse 16 down for us. Say, write this down for the coming generation. He said, I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. So in this reply of Eli and of Anna to Eli, we have two things that jump out of us. We see one, Anna was praying honestly before God. She was just not uttering a blip or some kind of routine or things that we just say in general, but she was praying honestly, pouring her heart to the Lord. That's one thing that we see. The second one was, well, the actual pouring out, the unloading of her heart to the Lord. And then the third thing that we see is that she was specific in her request to the Lord. So when we talk about supplication, these are the things that are elements of supplication. One, we must bring our prayer to the Lord honestly. We must pour everything out unto him. And we must be specific about what we want the Lord to do for us. So Anna was doing exactly what David wrote in Psalm 62, verse 8. In Psalm 62, verse 8, David wrote, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for our God is a refuge. So you see, Anna ran away from the crowd that was taunting her. She ran to this refuge because she found God was a place to the refuge, a place to run to in the time of trouble, to go pour out our heart to the Lord. Is the Lord calling you today? Or has he been calling you to find that place of refuge in him, where you can go and pour your heart to him, just like Anna did? So David wrote this. Also, the Holy Spirit asked David to write this down to illustrate, which has been illustrated by Anna for us. The phrase that says pour out our heart, it means to speak freely with the Lord, to speak freely without restraint. It's like taking a jar of water and emptying it completely before the Lord. That was what Anna was doing. David here in this psalm was encouraging us as believers to bring everything that we have, everything that is going on in our lives to the Lord. He's asking us to bring our joy, our pains, our doubts, our fears, to just bring them and pour them before the Lord. Again, in Psalm 142, 1-2, NLT, David said, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. So David prayed this prayer when he was in a cave, hiding from Saul. He did not hide his distress, or did he pretend to be strong? He just poured out his heart to the Lord. He told the Lord his troubles. This is, we can say, a biblical permission that David is giving us to be transparent before the Lord. John MacArthur says, David's transparency before God is not irreverence of God. It is faith that believes God can handle the full weight of our pain. Anna believed the Lord can handle the full weight of our pain and sorrow. She believed that. That's why she came pouring it to the Lord. There's another example that we can find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 and 11. I'll read again from NLT. It says, "Oh Lord, you misled me, and I allow myself to be misled by you. You are stronger than I am, and you overpowered me. Now I'm mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutor will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgiven." This was Jeremiah. She was being brutally honest before the Lord. He was saying, "Lord, you misled me." This is not being irreverent, like I said. It was just saying, "Lord, this was not the deal, right? This was not what I thought life would be when you called me to be a prophet, to go speak to people, and now here they are taking me and putting me in dungeon." So it was just being honest with the Lord that, "Lord, I don't know the deal. What's the deal with this Christian life? You know, is this what my lot will be?" The Lord is saying, "Bring your complaints, bring your sorrow, bring everything, say it." The Lord did not rebuke Jeremiah for saying that to him, but we know that Jeremiah dealt with him in a way to allay his sorrow, because in verse 11, he said, "But the Lord was beside me like a great warrior." That was the conclusion of his complaining and everything. But then in the midst of it, he realized the Lord must have spoken to his heart. And he said, "But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior." So, even our Lord himself, another example is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he was about to go to the cross to pay the ultimate price for our sin, hear what he said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 to 39. He said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." That's our Lord himself. And he said, "Stay here and keep watch with me." And in verse 39, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, not what I want, but your will be done." So, we see our Lord persevering in prayer. Jeremiah persevering in prayer. And at the beginning of the prayer, they were just pouring out their hearts before the Father, exactly the way they felt it. This transparency teaches us that reverence and honesty are not opposites. They are partners in true prayer. True faith doesn't suppress the emotion that we have. True faith surrenders emotion to the Father's will. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He did not suppress it, say, "My soul is crushed. Let this cup pass away if it's possible." But he surrendered that to the Lord. But he actually said it. He uttered it before the Father and then surrendered it to him. That's true faith. I don't know what you're going through. The Lord will appreciate you coming to tell him exactly how you're feeling. He doesn't want you to coat it with sugar or anything like that. He will appreciate you just saying it exactly how you are feeling it, because he knows who we are. We read in the book of Hebrews that the Lord himself became human like us so that he can identify with us, so they can know exactly how we feel. I did not put it over there, but the point is that the Lord is over there in heaven, and not knowing how we are feeling, he had become one like us to understand our feelings. So when we come, pouring our feeling to Him, He knows exactly what it means to feel like that. We read that the Lord desires truth in the inward being. He doesn't want us to come with polished words. He just wants us to come with our hearts open and, you know, honest before Him, because He desires truth in our inward being. So that is making supplications. Now, if you go back to that passage in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord, to God." With thanksgiving. So as I was reviewing this again yesterday, I was thinking about this. I had a picture of a sandwich, right? Like our prayer, when we come to the Lord to pour our hearts to Him, it's like we have thanksgiving. Our prayer is wrapped in thanksgiving. The meat or the requests or the supplication is wrapped up in thanksgiving. If you look at Anna, when Anna came to the Lord, he says, "The Lord of hosts," she acknowledged who God was first. "The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, if it pleases you to give me a son." That was acknowledging God as God, being able to do what she is coming to ask the Lord for before she asked. All right. So when we come to the Lord, this is the desire of Paul for us, is that we'll come with thanksgiving, wrap our request in thanksgiving. So we come with thanksgiving, we bring our request, and we finish with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in Greek really means accompanied by gratitude. Okay, so our prayers are to carry thanksgiving along with them. Times of prayer should remind us what the Lord has done for us before, as we come to Him, that we can remind ourselves that we are coming before the great and the mighty God, and then we can remind ourselves what God has done for us already in Christ Jesus, right? We read in the book of Romans, it's not up there, it says, "If God did not spare His only Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" Yeah? So we come with that attitude that the Lord has done the greatest thing that He could do for us. Saved us from our sin through Jesus Christ, His Son, that He sacrificed. So now, we are coming with this hurt, with this pain, with this sorrow, with this anguish in our heart. But we have that at the back of our mind. The Lord did not spare His only Son. He has given His best for us. This is the greatest thing that He could do for us. He's done for us already. Even if we have nothing else to remember, to give thanks to the Lord for, we could start thanking God for that. But I'm sure we all have experiences in our lives where the Lord has come true for us in the past, that we can say, "Thank you, Lord." We see our Lord Jesus Christ when He came. I want to skip to that place. When He was about to multiply the loaves. All right. So I'm going to skip to John 6:11. Or let's go first to where, before He raised Lazarus. I'm sorry, John 11:41. Let's go to that place briefly. In John 11:41, before the Lord asked them to take away the stone, right? Actually, after they took it away, Jesus lifted up His eye and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." That's John 11:41. The Lord Jesus Christ started by thanking the Father that He heard Him already. We can come to the Lord, our Father, and say, "Thank you. I know that you are hearing me." That attitude of gratitude to the Lord, that "I know you do hear me," shapes our prayer, turns it from being negative to now being submissive with confidence to the Lord. And then in John 6:11, Jesus took loaves, right? And when he had given thanks, he distributed them. The first thing the Lord did before he gave the loaves was to give thanks to the Father, and then the loaf was multiplied, right? So, Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means it's not just the good things only, but for everything, because it's providence. The providence of God governs all things. I was reading somewhere yesterday, was saying, the Lord is risen, therefore the Lord reigns. That's the Lord is sovereign over all the situations in our lives. We can come to him and say, Father, thank you. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He reigns now. He rules over everything in my life, including this pain and this hurt that I'm bringing to you. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. That was from in the new NLT version. So we see that the Lord, you know, wants us to bring our prayers, our petitions to him with the attitude of thanksgiving. Okay, I'm going to skip over to after we bring our thanksgiving to the Lord, what happens to us? What happens? What's the result of entrusting our lives to the Lord? If you go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. When we pour our hearts to the Lord, with a heart that is fully focused on the goodness and the wisdom and the power of God, in the midst of our storm, our hearts will be strengthened in faith to depart in peace from the presence of God in the place of prayer. Look at Anna as an example. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, after Anna has poured out her heart to the Lord, this is what we read, what we read about her. It says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, ate, and her face was no longer sad. She experienced the peace of God when she poured her heart to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ experienced the same thing. Angels came to minister to him, right? And now, not my will, but your will be done, right? That's the peace of God that settles the situation in his heart and went away. And then Jeremiah also felt the same thing. See, I know the Lord is with me, right? So these are people that poured out their heart, but they experienced the peace of God. We must persist in the place of prayer until our heart is strengthened to trust in God, so we can entrust everything to his wisdom, power, goodness, and love. This is the point. If there's one thing I want you to, I pray to the Lord, that we all take away is this. The Lord will have us stay in the place of prayer until our sorrow and our pain is exchanged for his peace. Sometime it might take a few minutes. Sometimes it can take a whole hour. Sometimes it can take a whole day. It depends on where we are with the Lord. But the Lord will not have us depart from his presence without experiencing that peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes we're in a hurry. We just want to say something glibly and then leave the presence of the Lord and not experience his peace. But I believe and I trust that each of us have a place where we go, where we fall on our face and we pray to the Lord and we cry to him, and he wants us to tarry there. How many times did our Lord Jesus Christ go back to pray? How many times? 3, yeah. He went and prayed. He found them sleeping. He came back again. Oh, I wish you could pray with me a little, tarry with me a little bit. Went back and prayed again. 3 times, he went back to the same place, fall on his face. Ah, if this could just pass away from me, right? But at the end, he said, your will be done. This is the thing that the Lord wants us to wait on him in prayer until our sorrow, our pain, our hurt are exchanged with his peace. Usually, I can tell from experience too, usually he will whisper his words into our heart that matches the situation. He will give us that peace through his word that he whispers to us. So we need to stay in the place of prayer until we experience his peace. Our peace in the place of prayer hinges on the complete surrendering of our situation to God to handle our situation in his own way. His ways are higher than our ways. I know this may be easier said than done, but we need to remember that the Lord uses prayer to change us. Sometimes we come to the Lord to change our circumstances, but we end up leaving our place of prayer, getting changed, getting transformed. All right? Sometimes he intervenes directly to change our circumstances. Other times, he gives us strength to bear the burden. The overarching purpose is not ultimately our comfort, but our conformity to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord would have taken you away from earth if he wanted when you got saved. He did not do that. But he wanted to transform us, to make us look, be like his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be a witness for him here on earth. So when we come to the Lord in prayer, if it doesn't change our circumstances, it changes us. All right? It's not always that it changes our circumstances. Sometimes it changes us. Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. The peace he gives to us is a powerful testimony to the world about the invisible hand of God working in our lives. So, the world loses sleep from worry, but as a child of God, we find peace in prayer. We unload our burden to the Lord, and we find peace that is lasting, that is in Christ. Remember that having been justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then following that verse, it says, now we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of glory. I was quoting from Romans chapter 5. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and then God gives us access by faith to maintain that peace. Does it make sense? He gives us peace through Jesus Christ first, and then he gives us means of maintaining that peace in prayer. I pray to the Lord, will give me another opportunity sometime in the future to talk more about this idea of maintaining our peace in God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us already. Thank you that he has made peace between us and you, and he has given us his peace, not as the world gives, but his peace that passes all understanding. And now we have access into your presence by prayer to maintain that peace. We bless you and thank you. As each of us goes from here to go pour out our hearts unto the Lord and learn in your presence what it means to exchange our sorrow for your peace, I trust in you, Father, that our lives will never be the same. We bless you and thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I urge you today to take some time in your own closet to just try it out. Pour your heart to the Lord and see what he does. what happens. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you until we see you again. The Lord bless. Amen.